Welcome to the India FinTech Diaries, the only podcast focused exclusively on the Indian FinTech market. I'm Elroy.
And I'm Hemant. In each episode, we dive into the latest trends, ideas, innovations, business models, and personalities that are shaping India's FinTech landscape.
We also invite amazing guests who are innovators and industry players that are driving the change that is helping make financial services more modern, innovative, and inclusive in India. Come join us as we explore the changing landscape of FinTech in India. Welcome to India FinTech Diaries, the show for all things Indian FinTech. I'm your host, Elroy.
And I'm your host, Hemant. In a recent episode, we briefly touched upon the topic of AI in financial services, and we thought we should do a series of episodes that dives a little deeper into this very important trend. And to begin this exploration, we thought we would like the kind of interface we are familiar with, the AI bot. But what if AI supercharged this bot and made it able to understand and answer spoken queries? Wouldn't that be fascinating? To explore precisely that, we have with us today Rahul Nanavati, co-founder Navana.ai. Welcome to India FinTech Diaries, Rahul.
Thanks a lot, Hemant. Thank you for having me.
Rahul, I think it would be great to begin with if you could give us a quick introduction of your background, and we'd love to know how you got started with AI.
Yeah, sure. So I'm the CEO at Navana. I'm an entrepreneur. This is my second company. And spent the last 5.5 years making the internet accessible in all Indian languages with AI and voice technologies. So I co-founded this with my brother Jay, and we were both kind of taken with a big challenge in 2016-17, which we recognized in the Indian internet, right? If two major accessibility problems were solved, one being the price of smartphones and the second being mobile data, the next major blocker would be the user interface. How is right. all of India going to kind of access this technology once they have the power in their hands? And that was the main problem statement we kind of started working on. And while we were doing our MBA at Cornell Tech together, we started building the beginnings of this business.
So Rahul, let's start with some big scary words, because every time we look up Gen AI or AI, there is a good soup of three-letter acronyms that just come across. So let's start with LLM, large language models. And can you explain in very simple layman terms what it is and how it works?
Large language models are essentially the AI models that we've been engaging with for the past 5-7 years. Right. But the main difference here is that the amount of data that these models have been trained on. These are language models essentially trained on the entirety of the internet, whose goal is to predict basis one word given to it, what the next word could be. So right. if you were to think about it in terms of an analogy, it's essentially like an extremely intelligent parrot, right? You've shown the parrot many different things over and over again, taught what it should say, basis one input, and then it's able to predict and answer that question basis deciding the next ideal word, right? That's basically what LLMs do. And then when you scale that up to the scale that you look at with OpenAI, Google, Amazon, and the training that they've been able to do, you end up with the result of like a ChatGPT type solution.
For a very, very long time, there has been discussions around AI. We know Google mm-hmm. Translation also worked on a concept similar to it of saying predicting the next word based on the entirety of the internet of what comes next. Now, why is it that there is so much discussion and noise and hype around LLM right now? What makes it the right time to use this in a much better way than we have used this earlier?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things. One is that the hardware available to do the training necessary
right.
became available recently. And that coupled with the amount of data that is available on the internet, the combination of those two things really led to this end result that we're seeing now with LLMs. Yeah, that's essentially it when it comes to why this is different from where it was before.
Rahul, if you look at India, right? India is home to what, 22 official languages, another 100 plus major languages, and as many as 1,600 other languages, as per the last census that was conducted. With such a huge diversity in languages, what are some of the practical challenges that one faces when while one trains an LLM on Indic languages? I know it's pretty simple as far as English and some of the European languages are concerned, but specific to India, what are some of the challenges?
Yeah, so I mean, this goes back to the main issue of the internet and its use in India, which was kind of the reason I wanted to work on this problem, is that the last 30 years of the internet has been used by English speakers, German speakers, French speakers, Spanish speakers. And so the data that's been generated over the last 30 years has been concentrated in those languages. Right. If you look at languages like Hindi, Tamil, Kannada, Telugu, Bhojpuri, the amount of data in comparison to the Western languages is almost nil. And so that leads us with a very big cold start problem. How do we actually build LLMs if we don't have the vast quantums of data that all of the other languages already do have? So that is where we need to figure out how we're going to generate this type of data. Do we do it synthetically? Do we take, you know, text data that's been done in hard copies and translate and, you know, put that into a digital format? How do we put all of this data together is the big problem that we have for Indic LLMs. And the same problem applies for our specific space at Navana, which is voice AI, speech recognition. So we've spent a lot of time over the last 5 years actually building the ecosystem to collect and open source this data, specifically for voice technologies. And there are other players in the space who've been doing the same, government-led initiatives like Bhashini, and a lot of private folks who have also been funding large projects towards this.
Rahul, actually, that brings me to Navana specifically. It'll be great to get some insights into what led you to found Navana. I know you touched a little bit about this when you began introduction. And I think we'd like to focus a little bit more on the problem statement you're looking to solve specifically. And I think the bigger question I have is, how did you come up with the name Navana?
So if you were to look at 2014, all right, that's when the first 100 million Android devices were sold. At that point of time, mobile data was not cheap. Smartphones were not cheap either, right? And so it was mostly India One who was using this, people in metro cities who mimicked Western behaviors. And so the usage of internet was fine. Fast forward to 2016-17, we've now sold a billion devices. It's now in the hands of many more folks. You started seeing in 2016-17, in your own lives, if you kind of look back, people asking for help. Right? A cab driver turning around saying, hey, you know, can you help me download this application? Or what is an email address? Or I don't know how to complete this action. Or can you help me book a train? Right? These types of things were, I mean, we were all seeing in our daily life. And at the same time, I was running a mobile gaming company focused on the Indian market. So I was actually building product that was being used on these devices as well. And we spent a lot of time looking at the usage behavior on these games that we were building and recognized that there were a number of issues around interface when we were building these games, right? So if you were to look at complex information architectures, many layers deep, 3-4 layers deep to get to, you know, a play game scenario, we were seeing big drop-offs there. If we were using iconography that was taken from the West, if you were to look at a shopping cart, for example, right? The shopping cart icon in our minds, we don't even think twice about it. But someone in a village has never seen a shopping cart before, right? So that is not effective shorthand or design for the majority of India. And we were seeing that type of issues along with those interfaces while building out these games as well. So the combination of seeing this in my life and seeing it in my business led me to think that, look, if the two issues around accessibility of price for smartphones and price of mobile data go away, then user interface becomes a problem. So maybe we need to think about a whole new design paradigm for this next billion user market that would help in accessing digital services at scale. That was the major problem statement I left with. And started working on immediately with my brother to say, what, you know, here's the problem. How do we start solving this? And while we began solving this, we recognized that, while working on many different problems, realized that the overarching technology that could leapfrog any user interface issue was voice, right? If the user can just speak to the application in their language, right, and get a relevant response back, it doesn't matter what is underlying, whether it's a banking application, an agricultural farmer advisory, an entertainment application. If you can just create the voice layer, you'll be able to leapfrog literacy and language. So that's where we landed on as the most impactful technology we could build to solve for this.
And Raul, you've certainly gotten a lot of accolades for this as well. I believe you recently won the third place at AI for Public Good, which was an award by the startup Mahakum in Delhi. So many congratulations on that award.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm just curious as to what are the various products that you have under Navana? And maybe you could elaborate a little bit more on Bodhi as well.
Yeah, correct. So at Navana, we have Bodhi, which is an AI platform for voice APIs. So what we essentially do is take any audio file from whichever channel it may be. Let's assume a telephone call or a WhatsApp voice note. It could be anything. And in any of these Indian languages, and return back a string of text. And then whoever's using our APIs is able to now make sense of what's being spoken to them and provide a response back. Yeah. So we're at the infrastructure layer of AI. If a business is looking to build a solution, we can take, let's say, an automated contact center solution. You call up Kotak Bank, you start speaking to an AI in your language. We would be the layer at which we are translating it from audio to text. Transcribing it from audio to text, rather. And then, you know, you'd probably use an LLM, maybe a Kruthrim LLM or a Sarvam LLM or OpenAI LLM to be able to do the thinking, which is what the LLM does, and then provide a response and speak it back out. Right? That's basically what we provide at Navana under the Bodhi platform.
So, Raul, this is a fintech podcast, right? So, of course, we are particularly interested in what is being done in the BFSI space. And from what I read is that you are doing work with Ujjivan Small Finance Bank, which has launched its own voice-based banking app using your platform. So it would be great to learn more about this. One, of course, how does this work? Second, what can a customer do on the app using that?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So I'll take a few minutes here to talk about Ujjivan. In our first, 2 to 3 years of the company, our job was actually to evangelize voice technology and demonstrate its use cases. Today, we have a platform that just provides APIs and people consume the APIs. But 5 years ago, people were asking the question, why do we need to use voice technology? We had to spend a lot of time working with early adopters and innovators to convince them, like, look, we need to solve this problem. And Ujjivan's chairman, Shaumit Ghosh, is one of those visionaries. He heard of our mission and gave us a blank canvas and said, look, you know, you want to make the internet accessible in all these languages. My bank needs to make our services accessible in all these languages because I have 5 million low-literate female customers who take loans from me today. They do it physically on ground. In a group loan format. And I'd like to, you know, provide them an option to do this digitally. Can you solve this for me? And just gave us a problem statement. And so we spent a lot of time working with Ujjivan and their customers, traveling the country, spending 6 months doing user research just to understand how we can build an interface that would work for this segment of society in the financial services domain. So coming from there, we built out the entire application design along with the voice technology to demonstrate really what the power could be. Now, fast forward 3 years, the app is now downloaded by 750,000 women. They're doing collectively over 50,000 loan repayments per month, as opposed to zero prior to the application being launched. They're doing 30,000 fund transfers per month, as opposed to zero. And they've done 4 crores in fixed and recurring deposit through the application. So, and all of this has been driven by the ability of the application to guide the users in their voice and receive instruction from the user in their voice. So really the what we had imagined was of this voice layer kind of leapfrogging all of the issues we had hoped for has now finally demonstrated in this use case.
This has actually been pretty interesting, and it's great that you could share some of the traction statistics also with respect to the app. I'd love to also hear some practical anecdotes of how users actually found this app from a usage perspective.
Yeah, so I think it has always come to a comparison to what they were offered before and to what they have now. So prior to the Hello Ujjivan application, which is what we had designed, there was a very typical banking application that they had launched in many Indian languages, but just text-based.
Right.
So the constant feedback we received was the ease of just speaking to the application just allows us to feel confident in at least exploring what is out there, right?
Right.
So that is a lot of the feedback that we've received on ground from customers, the ability to speak to the app. So it's available in 9 Indian languages, by the way. And
right.
The 9 languages are built in such a way that they actually recognize on average 4 dialects.
Okay.
And it recognizes specific financial terms. So the accuracy is extremely high, right? Because there's only about 15 things you can really do on the application. So
right.
The chance for failure is very low because we've trained the models to look for in the types of queries that are being asked, hey, fund transfer or loan repayment or, you know, FD or bank balance. These are the 15 things. So we can do a very, very good job of being right every time. And that builds a lot of trust and confidence in the customer to keep exploring and trying to do more things. To be honest, I was very circumspect that anything other than loan repayments would be done on the app. But we're already seeing users branch out into fund transfer and you know, investment products. That was a big surprise for me. And it comes to the fact that we were able to build a space in which the customer felt safe and trusted.
If you could look at the app, right, are there any specific use cases that have seen more traction than others? So you, one of the examples that you mentioned was you expected that loan repayment would be something that would gain traction on this app. But are there any other such use cases that you've seen actually see a lot more users via the voice interface that actually surprised you?
I think the consistency with which the users are using voice is a bit surprising to me. So I thought my thesis was that, you know, a user would probably use the voice technology for the first 3 or 4 interactions,
right?
Learn how to use the app, and then would kind of circumvent the voice interface after learning. That was my thesis, right? It's a great onboarding mechanism. And it's a great mechanism to troubleshoot when you feel, you know, you've been lost inside the application. But what we're seeing here is that every time a user is entering back in, that they are engaging in voice queries over and over again. And that was very surprising to me, in addition to what I already mentioned was beyond loan repayments, the fund transfers and investment products being used. These were kind of the 3 surprising things for me.
Interesting. So Rahul, both me and Elroy have spent significant amount of time working with financial services companies, and they work in a very regulated environment, and because of which their tech stack is built with safety, security, resilience as the top things in their mind than innovation, which is right as well. But what it makes is it makes working with bank a little challenging when you want to bring in innovation. So what were some of the technical challenges that you faced while integrating your app with the bank?
Yeah, this was a very big challenge for us. I think we grossly underestimated the complications involved with working with banks and bringing in new technologies. One, the obvious one was that everything needs to be on-premise, right? So to manage security, which should be done, and I'm glad it is that way. It just means that the effort involved in deploying a solution is significantly larger. And so that was one area where we spent a good amount of time working with the bank to solve for that. So that was one big area. The other was ensuring that adding in the voice layer does not have any security issues with it. So spending a lot of time designing the application and providing voice in areas where it is helpful, but has no kind of risk associated, right? So is it behind enough security? Are there enough kind of two-factor authentications needed at the right places? That type of design work, so less so on the tech, but ensuring that the design is done correctly, was another place where we spent a good amount of time.
Got it. So then, Rahul, I presume compliance is your favorite department in a bank, right?
Yes. I think the right answer to that is yes.
I know. So, Rahul, then one question on, have you done a comparison of your AI model against the industry standard models? And can you share some insights from that?
Yeah, sure. So when it comes to Indian language speech recognition,
right,
solving for Indian languages is extremely difficult because of what I mentioned earlier, the dearth of data. There isn't enough data to train models to be accurate. And solving for Indian languages, if you are not on ground and understand the nuances of each language and their corresponding dialects within them, it becomes very difficult to provide a model that works at a very high accuracy.
Right.
Even for big technology companies like Google or Amazon or Microsoft, etc. So today, Bodhi's set of models actually perform top of market in terms of a benchmarking report that we've released in terms of accuracies and latencies. So our latencies are currently between 450 to 550 milliseconds. And our accuracies are above 85% for all of these languages. The benchmarking report was done on a publicly available data set released by Google called the FLERS data set, F-L-E-U-R-S. And so it's easy to compare with Whisper, Google, Amazon, etc., because you can just demonstrate that. It's actually available on our website as well for anyone who is interested in viewing that report.
Rahul, I think we'll link that in our show notes when we release this episode.
Sure.
Also, love to hear and understand about the business model for AI companies such as yours. Do you also run a subscription model like OpenAI, or is this some other way that you're monetizing?
Yeah, so the way we monetize is fairly simple. We charge on an API basis, on a per second basis. So again, okay, the only thing that Navana does is take audio files and provide text back in all these languages.
Okay.
So per second, there is, you know, a charge per second. We charge that to the customer. And that's that. It's a pay-as-you-go model. And you can use it as much or as little as you want.
So if I understand this correctly, let's say, for example, I took a 10-second clip and send it to Navana using the API. Then the metering would be on the 10 seconds of that clip.
Exactly right.
Rahul, what's on the roadmap for 2024? Any new exciting product features or new product launches you're planning? And more importantly, how do you think LLMs and GenAI would kind of evolve in India in this current year?
Extremely exciting time for LLMs, voice technology, text-to-speech. It's all going to be tied together. It's currently being tied together to automate all sorts of interactions. Where we sit, we see a lot of B2B interactions, right? Hundreds of billions of business to user interactions are happening on a daily basis today in India, but they're all happening manually. Over the next kind of 12 to 18 months, I'm guessing about 10 to 20% of that is going to be automated, and we're going to be speaking to LLMs via telephone call or bots and engaging with these bots to handle our, you know, day-to-day issues with any platform. So that's where I'm seeing this. In terms of our roadmap, our goals are very simple. can we continue to increase accuracies of our models so that they're more and more reliable? Can we make them as fast as possible so that they can be used in the types of use cases I mentioned? You make a phone call to a bank, you get a response within a few milliseconds, and it feels as natural as speaking to a human being. So can we keep bringing that speed up? And finally, and most importantly, can we continue to bring the cost down? Our goal is that anyone across the country should be able to speak to any digital service and get what they need without having to necessarily type something, and with the joy of speaking in their own language. So bringing cost down to the bare minimum is what will drive that forward. So these are the three areas which we're focused on over the next year. In terms of new technologies, we're looking to release a text-to-speech model. So what we do right now is we are the ears, basically, speech recognition. We hear you and we're able to provide that in text. What's next is we will actually be able to speak to you. So we will take text and actually respond to you and build out that part of the infrastructure as well.
Thanks a ton, Rahul, for taking the time out today and speaking with us. If any of our listeners wanted to learn more about Navana or get in touch with you, what's the best way to do this?
Yeah, you can email me directly, raoul@navanatech.in, or you can reach us through our website, which is navana.ai.
Perfect. So Rahul, will include those details in our show notes. And thanks once again for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
That's it from India FinTech Diaries this week. Do log on to our website, indiafintechdiaries.com, for show notes and other exclusive content. Until next time, stay safe. Thank you.